All right, good morning, Admin Mastermind and Teach Better family. So good to see everyone this morning. We had a great group and conversation, and we had a special guest who you see on screen, Emily Pascal, and she's got the wonderful book, Multiply Excellence in Your Schools, which I'm holding right here for everyone to see. So definitely go check that out. But Emily, I just wanted to say before we begin this conversation, thank you so much for joining Admin Mastermind this week.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Yes, it was great. We really tried to use your book as kind of a guideline for the subject matter this morning in regards to just fostering connection with our staff specifically. And I think everyone really connected with that. I know even one administrator was like, I'm so glad we're talking about this because I have a really crucial conversation I need to have. And so with that, Emily, can we just start with a fun question? We had, you know, just a kind of a baseline. Let's see where you feel it is with your staff in regards to just culture, right? And so I had asked the question about, you know, if you could make it an analogy of food, what kind of food would your culture be? And we had a very eclectic response between everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so you had fruit salad.
I did.
Do you want to explain what that analogy is?
Yes, I sure will. So first of all, I want to say up front where I am. I work in a great school. Work in a great school and we have an amazing staff and I love this place. But a lot of times in my history of being in schools, you know, this is so common everywhere is that at first, when you go into a school, a lot of times it's like a fruit salad, right? Because there's different types of fruits and might taste different and be very different, you know, and not everybody's on the same page, right? Or, you know, maybe we all need to come together and figure out, okay, there's a whole lot of greatness here. And so how do we come together and make even better things happen, right? For kids. And then sometimes, you know, Zoom session people were talking about, and sometimes there's sour fruit, right? I mean, just the reality is that sometimes there is that little bit of negativity in there. And so, but I've been at this school that I'm at for 3 years. And just with this being the closing of our third year, I was saying the other day that I feel like, you know, I can just see before my eyes the shift happening in our school's culture and where teachers are, you know, there's this common expectation and this common goal and destination that we're all striving for, which is kid-centered, right? Yep. We believe that all kids can achieve at high levels and all kids can reach their personal best and all, you know, every single kid. And so now I feel like 3 years in, as we've all learned how to work together and how to be on the same team, it's like we're becoming a smoothie. And, you know, we've now stepped into this blender and we're being blended together. And do we all do it the same? No. There, you know, every teacher has different strengths and different gifts and they have different things to bring to the table. Yeah. But we all have the same end goal. And that's what matters. And it's not about, you know, the destination has to be common in a school. But the journey and how you get there, that's differentiated. And that's where the teacher's creativity and craft comes in of how they're going to deliver and execute. But I feel like we're a blended smoothie.
No, and someone even said, like, you must be the shot of energy within that smoothie. So loved that analogy, because I think a lot of people can connect that. I mean, some other responses was a buffet. Some said plastic food, like it looks like it's all beautiful, but inside it's hollow and doesn't have any real value. So I know there's like a lot of people that are probably thinking right now, like on their campus in their district, what would their food analogy be? And I thought it was a great way to get people at least to kind of assess what's going on in their environment. And then to move on to the next question, which was, you know, how can leaders leverage their own experiences to foster connection and support with their staff? Because some of our staff is maybe resistant to a relationship, maybe they're unreachable, or maybe it feels like that right now. So we were trying to think through some strategies as to, you know, get to those hard to get reach, you know, places in the campus, because as we know, you know, some people have been on a campus for a really long time and they don't want advice. They don't want potentially to have a relationship with the admin. So what are some strategies? So Emily, what was some takeaways from that question with the group?
Yeah. I thought people had really good answers. I thought that was a great conversation that we had, because I'm a realist and being in administration is not easy, and you're not always going to be the most popular person in the building. And it, you know, now is it going to be like that all the time? No, but as new things happen or change happens or, you know, or whatever, it's hard. Change is hard, no matter if it's in your personal life or your professional life or wherever. Change is hard and we're afraid of it. And I can definitely speak to that just, you know, in my own experiences. And so, one of the things that we kind of touched on is, you know, every school's different, and, you know, it's not just this one easy answer of, you know, when you step into an administrative position in a school, maybe you're walking into a school that had a leader before you that just had, you know, where great things are happening, and that just gets to continue going and that uphill. Right. But maybe you've walked into a broken culture, or maybe you've walked into a toxic culture, or maybe you've stepped into a mediocre culture where it's good, but we can get to great, right? Maybe you've stepped in somebody that talked about, you know, the plastic fruit, you know, the plastic food that, you know, you think it looks really good, but then when you step in and you're there every single day, you realize it's kind of pretend. It's not reality. Maybe it's the community that's making your school look really good, but now you've stepped in and it's like, whoa, like there's not much going on instructionally, or, you know, we've got, you know, who knows? I don't know what your school is. Okay. But the reality, yes, everything has to start with relationships. And so how do you do that? Because not everybody's going to like you from the get-go. And that just is what it is. Maybe they loved the previous principal, or maybe they're going through something personally. And so how do you handle that? And so it happens one person at a time. You have to be real. You have to be human, right? And you got to be genuine. But that's not enough, right? I mean, like we've got to do these things, but the most important job that we have as administrators is our job is to support teachers. That's our job. And when teachers feel supported, then kids are better supported. And when teachers feel supported, that's when the relationship really forms. Mm-hmm. When that support is there and when it's felt. And so one of my biggest things as a leader is I'm not going to ask anybody to do anything I'm not willing to do myself. And so, you know, whether that be that we have some major, I go a lot around the country a lot and speak, hear people talk about discipline, you know, the kids are changing and, you know, and all these things that we talk about. Okay. So if that's the case, you know, don't ask anybody to do something we're not willing to do ourselves. It's hard to manage a classroom when we've got kids that don't know how to get regulated yet. Mm-hmm. And so how are we in there in the trenches with the teacher, helping them through that? Maybe we're helping during the lesson and coming up with some management techniques that work rather than just spouting stuff out, right? Or maybe when the kid is needing to get regulated, we're the one with the kid helping them get regulated. You know, and help when those teachers feel that support, that relationship's going to grow because they want to work with you and they want to learn with you and want to learn from you. And so the other, you know, when it comes to instruction, right? Because, you know, culture doesn't always mean happy. That's one of the things that we have to realize is things are going to happen and circumstances are going to happen. Things like COVID are going to happen, right? Circumstances don't make or break a school's culture. They reveal it. I'm going to say that again. Circumstances don't make or break a school's culture. They reveal it. And so, you know, if we're, you know, thinking through the lens of instruction, if we're seeing that we need to make some gains in our student learning, because that's what school's all about, right? That's hard. It's hard for a teacher to think through, oh, you know, I'm not good enough. You know, that. So how do we handle that? Well, I'm certainly not the best teacher in the building, but I'm committed to being the lead learner. And so I've never stopped teaching since I left the classroom, and I never plan to. And so some, you know, if a teacher is struggling, you know, with, you know, math or whatever it is, hey, I'd love to come in and let's work together. Let's figure it out. Like we can talk. And so the teachers see me teaching. And they see some great lessons and they see some that fail. And that's okay. And, it, you know, at the end, it's me being human saying, woo, you know, like next time I would do this different. And then when they see you modeling that, they're okay with failing and growing and learning and, you know, on repeat, they become okay with that. But we as leaders, in order to build those authentic, true relationships, yes, we can give donuts and yes, we can bring surprise breakfast. And yes, we can do these things to be a shot in the arm of a boost of morale. But relationships grow when people feel supported and when they feel heard and when they feel seen. And we've got to be in the trenches with them and we have to stay there.
Yeah. Well, love that answer, Emily. I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that people said in addition. So one administrator talked about being consistent, being real with your attitude, decision-making, and communication, because they were bringing a lot of energy, a lot of happiness to the position. And people's first perception was, oh, they're fake. This is not real, right? Yep. And unfortunately, their experience, I guess, with that admin was that that was the case, right? There was a persona that was being, or a facade that was being generated every day. And this administrator specifically had to be consistent to show, no, this is truly who I am as a leader. Some other pieces was being open and honest in communication, being vulnerable, being approachable, which is huge. You had said something too, Emily, that I wrote down, which was fighting against culture of competition against each other.
Yeah.
That it's actually competing against themselves and trying to shift that mindset, which is huge, because, you know, sometimes we get in this silo of, I'm not going to share anything because I want to be the best, right? I want to do what I'm doing well, and I don't want others to, you know, take advantage of that. So trying to shift that culture to not have that competition with each other, because we're on the same team. So we need to make sure that we're helping each other. So with that, Emily, I would love to shift to the last question, that because we really didn't have too many questions. The conversation was rich this morning. So the second question was about difficult conversations with colleagues, right? So how do we promote understanding and collaboration in those difficult conversations? Someone was in it today. They witnessed something that they knew needed to change, and they needed to have that crucial conversation today. So with that, Emily, what were some things that were discussed as far as maybe approaching this in a way to resolve what is being seen, but also, you know, to have that understanding with the colleague that, you know, we're not here to get you, we're here to help you in this situation.
Right. Creating that culture of I've got you, not creating a culture of gotcha. Right.
Right.
So I thought there was really good conversation, first of all. But here's the thing we have to face. I posted this on Twitter last night, and this is not my quote. This is somebody else's quote, but it said, when we avoid hard conversations, we do not keep the peace. We are keeping the tension. So, but it's all in how we handle it, right? And so a lot of times, you know, and someone had spoken up and talked about, you know, sometimes it just means like, just have the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Like just talk to them as human and as a human and address it and ask, how can I help you? Right. And how can we fix this? Or, you know, I'm here to help. What can we, most people, if we approach them in the right way, are going to receive it well, most people. And yeah. So, but what often happens is we just don't go have it. And when we don't have those conversations, that's when it festers, you know, and then one day it explodes. And so I've not always done this right. So first of all, I mean, this is through lived experiences of not doing it right and then doing it right and learning the better way. Anyway, but if you have them sooner than later, it most always fixes it. But then the conversation came up about, okay, what about the person that doesn't want to change that? I mean, what do you do
with
the person that is not reflective? Because there is a small population of people that is that way. And is it most? No, it is not. It is not the majority. So we just had a conversation about, you know, in my book, I talk about how to deal with difficult conversations because there's even a scenario in there, like, you know, of what would you say to a resistant teacher? Because there's different forms of resistance, right? And some people it's just insecurity. And a lot of times with a new teacher, a first year teacher, that resistance is coming from insecurity of just like, oh, I'm embarrassed. Like, I don't want to, you know, and that is a completely different approach of relating to them and telling them, hey, I've been there too. Like, I get it that you're struggling with classroom management. Like, let me tell you something that happened to me. And, you know, and then them feeling like, okay, I'm not alone here, right? And then helping them. But then when the person just doesn't want doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to see themselves need for growth, that's when you just come at, you know, you talk to them about, we have to see ourselves as a part of the problem in order to be a part of the solution, right? And we've got to hit it head on. And but it's all in the approach, and it's not about sitting across the desk, you know, across the room and approaching them in that way, in an authoritative way. Sit by them, right? Address it head on, and talk about, if we've got to see ourselves as a part of the problem so that we can be a part of the solution. Yeah. We, not you, we, and I'm here to support you and on that journey to getting there.
Yeah, no, it was a beautiful conversation, because like you said, we were talking about the questioning techniques, about the environment, about making sure that we're sharing our intentions about, you know, how much we care about the person, and allowing them to be the best version, providing, you know, feedback that's clear and kind, but not looking to just, you know, feed them a bunch of compliments. You know, we're there because there's obviously an issue that needs to be resolved. And so not allowing it to become a you problem, it's a we problem, like you said. So we are here to fix it, and, you know, trying to hopefully change some mindsets, because like we said, there are some folks that don't see themselves a part of that problem. So how do we get them to be in that place that we need to make change? And so loved the conversation. I loved, Emily, what you provided, as far as, you know, just advice, because I mean, I'm with you. I'm not perfect. I was never a perfect leader. I failed plenty of times in these conversations. And so if we can, you know, share that out with this group to hopefully have them have a better experience than we did and not fall flat on their face, I think, you know, that's wonderful. So I appreciate you so much. I appreciate you, you know, joining the group. For those who are watching on YouTube for the first time and, you know, are curious about, you know, what on earth we're talking about, this is a bunch of leaders and administrators all over the country and Canada joining us every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And if you're interested in joining for free, it doesn't cost you anything but 45 minutes of your time on Tuesdays, teachbetter.com/mastermind. You sign up there, you get your Zoom link, and then you can save that Zoom link for future conversations. In addition to that group, we've also got a Facebook group that is growing like crazy. I think we're at 250 people. We've only been in existence as a Facebook group for a short period of time, but would love for folks to join us there as we are continuing the conversation every week, because we don't want to just meet on Tuesdays and be done with that. So we want to make sure that we are continuously leaning on each other as a community. So, Emily, love your book so much. For those who are watching, again, I'm going to put it on the screen for you. So Multiply Excellence in Your School. Please make sure that you head out to your local bookstores, go to Amazon, wherever you buy your book, and make sure that you are supporting Emily. And then how can they reach out to you too, Emily, in addition to, you know, seeing you on YouTube?
I am on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Boxer as well, but my username is Emily A. Pascal. That is the easiest way to reach me. Perfect. On social media.
So. Yeah, definitely connect with Emily. She's got a ton of resources. Like, you know, the value that she was saying that she posts on Twitter, you'll get that in every format. So make sure that you're finding her on all the different socials and connecting with Emily. Emily, with that, again, thank you so much for joining this Admin Mastermind recap and join the conversation with our Admin Mastermind on Zoom.
Thank you for having me.